Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the Akatra Dialogue. Today, we're diving into the life and really the incredible journey of a figure who became synonymous with public health in America, Dr. Anthony S. Fauci.
That's right. We're looking at his story through his own words from his 2024 memoir, On Call: A Doctor's Journey in Public Service.
And it's quite a journey spanning over 50 years right at the forefront. Why is his story so significant for us to explore today?
Well, I think it's because he stood right at this often really difficult intersection of science, politics, and frankly, immense human suffering.
Yeah.
You know, from HIV/AIDS right through to COVID-19.
Yeah, huge crises. And his memoir isn't just a recounting of events, is it? It's more personal.
Exactly. It gives you this intimate look at the person behind the public figure, the decisions he made, the pressures he faced. It's about leadership, scientific integrity, and the very real human cost of that kind of public service.
So our goal here is to unpack that. We want to pull out the core ideas, the turning points, and maybe some universal lessons from his life that resonate even now. It's for anyone curious about navigating truth in complex times, really.
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Okay, so where does the story begin? Not in the lab, surprisingly, but Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, 1940.
Right, a working-class Italian-American family. His father, Stephen, was a pharmacist, and his mother, Eugenia, ran the household. Very strong values there, you know, loyalty, hard work, service, it was all baked in.
And the pharmacy itself sounds like it was incredibly influential.
Oh, massively. He talks about watching his dad, not just filling prescriptions, but really counseling people, showing genuine care. It was like his first classroom in blending science with compassion.
He even delivered prescriptions on his bike, didn't he? Getting that ground level view.
Yeah, exactly. Seeing community health needs firsthand. And then you layer on top of that his Jesuit education, Regis High School, Holy Cross College.
Ah, the men for others philosophy.
Precisely. Yeah. Rigorous thinking, moral reasoning, this idea of using your talents for the greater good. That really shaped him.
It's interesting. He was also captain of his high school basketball team. Maybe a small detail, but...
Well, you know, teamwork, performing under pressure. Those skills probably didn't hurt later on, right?
Good point. Okay, so from Brooklyn, he excels academically. Cornell Medical College, graduates first in his class in 66.
Mm-hmm. And then he lands at the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, in 1968 for his residency and fellowship. And, well, he pretty much stays there for his entire career.
Over five decades. But it wasn't just about the pure science for him, was it?
No, not entirely. I mean, he was deeply curious about immunology, for sure. But he also has this growing awareness, even early on, about health inequities. He saw how disease hit poorer, marginalized communities harder. That became a real driving force.
And his early work reflected that focus on tough diseases.
Definitely. He tackled these really rare, terrifying, inflammatory diseases like Wegener's granulomatosis. Back then, it was essentially a death sentence.
Hmm.
Yeah. But through really rigorous science, bold clinical work, he and his team developed treatments that turned these fatal conditions into something people could actually live with.
So that must have been a powerful lesson early on.
Huge. It showed him firsthand that even when things look hopeless, combining solid science with compassionate, maybe even daring clinical care could make a massive difference. It sort of set the stage for everything that followed.
Which brings us to a major pivotal moment, 1981. The emergence of AIDS.
Right. Reports start trickling in about this mysterious deadly immune deficiency, mostly in gay men. And Fauci makes this, frankly, radical decision.
He shifts his whole research focus.
The entire thing. He walks away from the successful work he was doing on those inflammatory diseases to confront what he immediately recognized as, oh, he called it a historic plague.
That took incredible foresight, didn't it? Because a lot of the establishment was hesitant or worse.
Oh, absolutely. There was denial, dismissal. A lot of stigma tied up in homophobia within healthcare itself. Fauci's immediate pivot wasn't just scientific leadership. It felt like a moral stand.
And this period really changed him, didn't it? Pushed him beyond just being a researcher.
Completely. It forced him to become a public servant, an advocate, a communicator on a national stage. And it wasn't smooth sailing, especially with the AIDS activists.
Ah, yes. The relationship with Larry Kramer, the playwright, that was famously tense.
Tense is putting it mildly. Kramer was furious, desperate, felt the government and scientists weren't doing enough. He publicly called Fauci a murderer. It was incredibly personal, incredibly volatile.
So how did Fauci handle that? Most people would probably retreat or get defensive.
But he didn't. And this is key, I think. He actually listened. He engaged with Kramer, with other activists. He saw past the anger to the, you know, the legitimate fear and suffering, and crucially, the valuable knowledge they had as a community.
So listening to his harshest critics actually led to a breakthrough.
Yes. It led to this amazing transformation from adversaries to collaborators. They worked together to revolutionize how clinical trials were designed, bringing community input right into the scientific process. It was unprecedented.
That's a powerful lesson right there.
It really is. And that collaboration was vital in speeding up the development of the first effective HIV treatments, the antiretroviral therapies. It started that long, slow process of turning HIV from a death sentence into a manageable condition.
So as we look across his whole career, what would you say are the core principles, the sort of philosophical anchors in his work?
Well, a few things really stand out from the memoir. First and foremost, his absolute mantra, follow the data.
Right. Evidence-based decisions.
Always. He saw science not as fixed dogma, but as this ongoing process of discovery, of refining understanding based on the best available evidence. It corrects itself.
And linked to that, there's this idea of humility.
Exactly. His second principle, you can say, was embrace uncertainty with humility. He stressed how important it is, especially in a crisis, to be able to say, I don't know yet. Science reduces uncertainty over time. It doesn't offer instant certainty.
We saw that play out during COVID, didn't we? With mask guidance changing, for example.
Precisely. He framed those changes not as mistakes, but as the scientific process working as it should, updating recommendations based on new data. It requires being transparent about what you know and what you don't.
Okay, so data, humility,
yeah.
What else?
The third, and maybe the deepest rooted in that Jesuit background, is the primacy of the patient. Ultimately, it was always about alleviating suffering, saving lives. That human focus was the engine driving the science.
It sounds like a blend of rigorous science and deep humanism.
That's a great way to put it. You could call his overall philosophy science with a social conscience. He truly believed research disconnected from human impact was incomplete, maybe even harmful.
Which explains his push for diversity in trials, faster drug approvals in crises, engaging with activists.
All of it. It was about making sure science served everyone, especially the most vulnerable.
Okay, let's talk about another huge turning point. After battling AIDS domestically, his focus went global with PEPFAR.
Yes. The President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, launched in 2003 under President George W. Bush, with Fauci playing a key architect role.
This was a massive undertaking, wasn't it? Billions of dollars.
Unprecedented, really. A huge commitment to fight HIV/AIDS in developing countries, particularly in Africa, where the epidemic was just devastating communities. For Fauci, this was driven by a profound moral imperative.
An extension of that patient-first idea, but on a global scale.
Exactly. He saw it as a matter of justice, getting life-saving treatments to people who desperately needed them, regardless of where they lived.
And the impact.
Staggering. PEPFAR is credited with saving an estimated 25 million lives. It's arguably one of the most successful global health initiatives ever. A massive validation of his life's work.
Incredible. Now, there's another moment, smaller perhaps, but really symbolic, that stands out in the memoir. The Ebola outbreak in 2014.
Ah, yes. The hug.
Tell us about that. Public fear around Ebola was intense, right? Lots of misinformation.
Absolutely terrifying for many people. So when nurse Nina Pham recovered after contracting Ebola while treating a patient, Fauci made a very public point of visiting her and hugging her in front of news cameras.
Why was that simple act so significant?
Because it was a deliberate, calculated message. Here was America's top infectious disease doctor demonstrating, not just saying, that science had made her safe, that she wasn't contagious. It was a powerful counter-narrative to the fear.
Using his authority to soothe anxiety, basically.
Precisely. It really cemented that image of him as America's doctor, someone who could translate complex science into reassuring human terms. It was empathy deployed as a public health tool.
Which brings us inevitably to the ultimate test, COVID-19.
Yeah, the final chapters of the memoir really dug into this. He calls it the perfect storm, a brand new, easily spread virus hitting a world that was already incredibly politically divided.
And he's 79 years old at this point, thrust into this blinding global spotlight.
Unbelievable pressure. Advising a skeptical White House, trying to communicate evolving science to a terrified public, and facing just vitriolic personal attacks, even death threats.
How did he cope? What does the memoir reveal about his approach during that time?
You see those core principles again. Confront the problem head on. Don't shy away. compartmentalize the political noise and personal attacks to focus on the science. And just relentless persistence.
Does he address the criticisms, the communication challenges, like the changing mask advice or vaccine efficacy estimates?
Oh, yes, directly. He acknowledges those complexities, but frames them, again, as part of the scientific process in real time. Recommendations change as data evolves, especially with a novel virus. He presents it not as deception, but as the inherent uncertainty of science during a crisis.
So looking back at this immense career, this half century of service, what's the legacy? What does it all mean for us?
Well, the professional legacy is huge, isn't it? Foundational immunology research, building NIAID into a powerhouse, developing rapid drug development models that were crucial for the COVID vaccines.
Scientifically, it's undeniable. But culturally?
That's more complex. He became America's doctor for millions, a trusted voice explaining science. But as you said, he also became this lightning rod for political anger, embodying deep divides in society about trust in science and authority.
And the human legacy, beyond the science and the politics.
I think it's in the mentorship he provided to generations of scientists, the stories of his personal connection with patients early in his career, and just this unwavering, almost stubborn dedication to service, despite the enormous personal toll it clearly took.
So reflecting on his journey, what are some key lessons you think we can take away, lessons that apply beyond public health?
I think there are several really universal ones. First, maybe, is the power of intellectual humility.
Being willing to say, I don't know, or I was wrong based on new data.
Exactly. Seeing that willingness to question assumptions and change your mind based on evidence, not as weakness, but as a fundamental strength.
Okay, what's another?
Second, I'd say, is that service requires personal sacrifice. His life makes it clear that pursuing a large purpose, like saving lives, often involves significant trade-offs, immense pressure, and personal costs. But that sacrifice gains meaning when tied to that larger goal.
That resonates. And a third?
Maybe the importance of building bridges. That whole experience with Larry Kramer is so telling. Engaging with critics, even fierce ones, can actually lead to better outcomes if you can find common ground, especially around shared human values.
Turning confrontation into collaboration.
Right. And finally, perhaps, the responsibility of expertise. It's not enough just to be technically brilliant. True expertise, his story suggests, needs to be paired with ethical judgment, courage, and a willingness to speak difficult truths, even when unpopular or costly.
Using knowledge responsibly for the common good.
That seems to be the through line. His memoir, On Call, really is this fascinating look at the power, but also the limits, of science in a messy democratic world. It's a case study in trying to navigate truth, trust, and service under extraordinary circumstances.
It definitely sounds like a story of incredible resilience, unwavering dedication, and the profound impact one life focused on science and service can have. It really challenges you, doesn't it? It makes you think about how we engage with opposing views, where we get our information, and maybe what our own small contribution to service could look like.
It certainly does.
Well, let's pause there for our main discussion. Based on everything we've talked about, let's distill it into three final takeaways for you, our listeners.
Okay, so first, an emotional insight. Fauci's story really underscores the profound emotional toll, but also the deep personal meaning that comes from dedicating your life to alleviating human suffering, even amidst intense public scrutiny and personal attacks.
Right, that human cost and reward. What about intellectually?
An intellectual insight. His career is a powerful testament to the scientific method in action, emphasizing that following the data, embracing uncertainty with humility, and being willing to adapt based on evidence are core to scientific integrity and progress, especially during crises.
And finally, a practical universal lesson.
A universal insight. Perhaps the most practical lesson is the power of persistent engagement and bridge building. Even in the face of harsh criticism or opposition, like with the AIDS activists, seeking dialogue and common ground can lead to unexpected collaborations and, ultimately, better solutions for everyone.
Thank you for joining us on the ACATRA Dialogue. We hope you found this exploration of Dr. Anthony Fauci's journey as insightful and thought-provoking as we did. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by ACATRA Foundation.